If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think it's pretty disruptive, much like the way I was at the Slim Chickens last time. Tried to play that card.
Kent is out here trying to be disruptive in the sports media scene and in your local Slim Chickens.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That's right, it's Kent Swanson time. You can follow him on Twitter, and you probably already do, at Kent_Swanson. You can read his work in KC Sports Network and their various places. You can even now have his permission to buy a t-shirt, kcsn.substack.com, kcsportsnetwork.com. I think that covers most of it through those places. If not, go to the Twitter, and you can find everything that Kent does out there. But Kent is not in studio with us, as he has been the last couple of times, because Kent is on now, I think, what, double dad duty? Is that? I don't know if that's accurate or not. How is baby number two been?
Man, baby number two is awesome. It is, you know, it's been a while. Like, we had two kids 5 years apart, so like trying to get used to all the things again. It's been interesting, but mom, baby, doing really well. And I guess I'm happy to talk to you. I guess I was more excited to talk to Beards. Beards actually had to shut me up and put me on hold.
I saw that the conversation was going pretty late into the sports center. I thought they must have been having a nice chat. What is the thing that you forgot how difficult or gross or whatever it was 5 years removed from the previous baby?
Oh, you just teed me up, buddy. I've been peed on more times in the last 2.5 weeks than I was the entirety of my first kid. Like, there is a strategy you have to take where you have to make sure you are covering things up while you're changing a diaper, and I forgot every single time. Most of the time, it's like 1 a.m, and then the fountains. It's like, you know, we're on the plaza, man. It's been brutal.
The plaza.
It makes things harder.
Say that again.
It makes things harder at night because you're exhausted and you're having to change the sheets. You're having to change your pants. I mean, it's a lot.
Well, I mean, you said, you know, it's I don't want to go all the way back to your last job. I'm just going to assume it's been a while since you've been covered by someone else's urine. I'm not willing to say it's been 5 years, but
I can confirm it's been 5, buddy.
All right. If you say so. I'm not sure exactly where I wanted to take all that, but I did have to hit the eject button much sooner than I wanted to, so that's probably for the best. It seems so disorienting having to just like it. Here's where I'm at. I have a couple of times now, once when it was really cold out, and now once when it was really hot out, forgotten that I let the dog outside for like a little longer than I should have, you know. To where you're like, "Ooh, I'm sorry. Here's a treat. You know, don't tell Renee. You couldn't tell her anyway. You can't speak. Never mind. You're a dog." I feel like that having a baby just has to be that feeling like 99% of the time, because you're always forgetting something, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, but by the way, anybody that ever says having a dog is like the precursor to having a baby.
No way!
Lying.
No way!
Just absolute lying. There's no correlation whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, you're a disheveled mess, and you don't remember the first year of a child's life. And that's something I am coming to realize and remember again quickly, because there's just so much going on at all given times. And you can't sleep. You don't sleep well. You're always waking up to make sure the baby's still breathing. It's an exciting time in my life, Josh.
Sounds like it. It sounds like you're thrilled. Has anything else popped up over the course of the last few weeks? And then I'm going to ask you about some training camp stuff, but we can get there in a second. I like to catch up with you.
Yeah, you know, nothing too big. Nothing too big. I've been, again, disheveled mess for the last 17 days, so it's all good.
Have you made any progress in terms of putting a calendar on your phone?
Negatory. Okay. And I probably should, because my life has become, again, a disheveled mess that requires more organization. I need to color code for my kids pretty quick here is what I need to do. So,
that's kind of what I was thinking. You know what? Like, your whole disheveled deal, I think, gets a little less disheveled if you are properly color coordinating a Google Calendar.
Josh, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to invite you out to the suburbs. I'm gonna pull out my smoker. We're going to have just a good old-fashioned suburban dad evening. We'll sit on the porch. I'll make you sip a bourbon. We'll eat some pulled pork. And then I'm going to hand my phone over and just let you organize my life.
I might need a couple of those nights out to be that confident that I can make it happen, but we can get you there. Did you say make me sip a bourbon? Do you feel? Are you just assuming that I would not do that on my own volition? Because you're right.
I know I'm right. I've had this conversation with you before, and you know, this is probably something. You know, I'm sure now that you know Beards is married, he'll probably. Well, no, Beards doesn't like anything, so he wouldn't sip
correct.
A bourbon.
Yeah,
nailed it.
But you know, at some point in your life, you're gonna realize that you know, alcohol aged in wood is delightful.
I think my play would be to just pretend to sip it for a while, then you turn your back and I just take it like a shot and then just continue to pretend to sip whatever, you know, drop is left and just see if you ever catch on. I think that's probably my best play.
As long as the night ends in you organizing my life, I'm okay.
Fair enough. That seems worthwhile. All right, well, I'll ask you about some things that you have written about on KCSN already. This just a few hours ago. You had your early reactions from the first round of day one here of Chiefs camp. A couple things that you put out there were a few of the things that we talked about within the first hour of the show here tonight, because I think a couple things leaped off the screen to me as people were reporting what was going on out there. And I think Trey Smith is where I would start. Do you think that's the biggest takeaway? And then what do you make of seeing Trey Smith starting at right guard day one?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Trey Smith is a massive story for seven different reasons, but the fact that he's jumping in from day one and the fact that Andy Reid heaped praise on him and basically said he should be there is massive. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a sixth-round pick, and there's a lot of circumstances surrounding this particular sixth-round pick who, talent-wise, probably wasn't a sixth-round pick, but he has had a meteoric rise throughout the offseason. We haven't got to see or be privy to all that behind the scenes, really. I mean, there's some buzz out there. You could internet sleuth and look at all the photos on the Chiefs site from OTAs and all that stuff. But this is our first confirmation in publicly announcing to the world that Trey Smith is here. Mm-hmm. And he's very much a part of the mix at the right guard spot. And, there's a chance the Chiefs are starting two, rookie interior offensive linemen on this group. And getting a guy like Trey Smith in the mix and getting him as a viable potential starter in the sixth round is massive for this draft class.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because I've talked about the financials several times, because paying Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney is a lot easier if you've got two or maybe even three starters eventually, if not this year, next year, on rookie contracts. With what you saw from Trey Smith out of college and taking a closer look after they drafted him and everything, how confident are you in the idea that he could be the starter week one and not only provide any glaring weaknesses, but actually be better in that spot than LDT might be?
Well, okay. I mean, that's a pretty loaded question, because a lot there. I'm not super confident Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Mm-hmm.
I think playing the interior of the offensive line is one of the easiest places to find value, one of the easiest places to plug and play.
Yep.
But I don't also want to diminish the talent that is Trey Smith. And there's a lot of good things to like about him. You know, the physicality, that there's an edge to him that this offensive line typically hasn't had, although you look at the guys that they've brought in across the board, there's a lot of a mentality change up front, a lot more physicality, so there's a lot more to like there. He's a punisher. I don't know if he's necessarily the most, agile guy, laterally. I don't think he's going to be the guy that's going to thrive all the time in space, but he's definitely a physical player. He's stout. He's well-built. He's capable of anchoring well in pass protection. There's a lot of good things about his game to like, and even dropping him next to a center that's probably going to be a rookie, I think he can acclimate very quickly. the football character is off the charts. There's positive reviews before the draft about that, and there's, you know, a lot of positive reviews within that building. They really like the makeup of this kid, and I, you know, those are really good qualities to have, and those are typically the kind of qualities that lead to success. Those are the kind of qualities that lead to sixth-round picks winding up, you know, playing significant snaps. Those are all positive indicators for this kid, and I think, like, everything we've seen optically, everything we've seen from, you know, the snap count telling the story seems to indicate that. You know, he's a guy that's very much in the mix and a guy that can bring a lot to this football team.
The other offensive line thing that was interesting today is that you also wrote about on the KCSN Substack is with Lucas Niang, because he was the other guy, as sort of a redshirt rookie, where having him start would be ideal because you like to have your guy for the future there, but it seems like Mike Rimmers is probably getting the incumbent boost there. The most interesting thing, though, and this is something, again, you pointed out in the story, is that Lucas Niang was playing today at the left tackle spot with the second team, and Andrew Wiley was the right tackle with the second team. And as you write, like, Lucas Niang is, I think, the only good option for stepping in if Orlando Brown does get hurt at some point. You do not want to have to put Mike Rimmers back on the left side for any reason if you can avoid it. But also, you'd like to see Lucas Niang competing with Mike Rimmers for the right tackle job. So how do you balance all of that?
Well, I think the Trey Smith situation and him, you know, having a lot of success makes this even more interesting, and maybe tells, you know, answers the question for us and probably makes the decision for you if you in a lot of different ways, because I don't think you can start rookies from center to right tackle. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can start three rookies on one side of your offensive line. So I think, you know, what you're looking at now is this is what I think is happening. I don't think there's a competition for right tackle anymore. Mm-hmm. I think this is Mike Remmer's job. I think the Chiefs are having Lucas Niang focus a lot of time along the left side of the offensive line because they don't have a solution if Orlando Brown gets hurt.
Yep.
So I think what's really going on is Lucas Niang is going to be the, you know, swing tackle, but he's spending a lot of time getting acclimated over on the left. Remmers is going to start, and if Trey Smith holds on to that position, which it kind of feels like that is something that could happen, why not Kyle Long at right tackle? What if Kyle Long is your right tackle if Mike Remmers struggles? Like, there's a lot more open doors and a lot more opportunities along this offensive line and a lot more flexibility you have if Trey Smith just locks right guard down. And now things get a little bit more interesting. There's a lot of ways that this can go, but I think Lucas Niang is the swing tackle, and I think they're really trying to help get him ready on that left side.
I mean, you're right that, again, there's no solution there in terms of – literally, the next tackle is Andrew Wiley, and he's a guard.
that can't happen.
Right.
I'm just – like, we saw what happened when the Chiefs tried to piecemeal left tackle.
Yep.
I mean, that cannot happen again. It can't happen for any real stretch. And so, like, they've got to have a solution. Lucas Niang is the actual fit to try to do that.
Do you think that Kyle Long ends up, let's say Trey Smith holds in that right guard spot and the Chiefs want him to win that spot, which would make sense. You've got to, again, rookie deal, and that's a huge value if you can make him be that guy. Do you think that Kyle Long, because I honestly just have not spent a whole lot of time, even whenever he signed, thinking and talking much about him at the tackle spot, because I thought he made the most sense at guard still. But how do you feel about him at right tackle? Do you think that he would be able to compete or take that job from Rimmers?
I mean, he's performed there capably, and I, you know, I don't think the bar is particularly high to clear with Mike Rimmers. Not to say that Rimmers didn't do an admirable job. I'm glad Mike Rimmers is back in Kansas City. I think he's a quality, you know, piece of this offensive line. And if he's your worst offensive lineman on your front five, you can do worse. But that doesn't mean that Kyle Long doesn't offer a little bit more ceiling, a little bit more upside. I think there's more athleticism to a Kyle Long. You know, I think that, you know, you can do a little bit more with the Kyle Long. You can trust Kyle Long a little bit more if you're getting a healthy version of him. Obviously, you know, he's a little bit removed from football too, so that's going to be interesting in and of itself. I mean, the Chiefs have three offensive linemen that are a year plus removed from playing football, which is always interesting. But, yeah, Kyle Long could very easily get into the mix over at right tackle with Remmers. I don't think that's out of the question.
What about the cornerback spot? Mike Hughes got the first team look opposite Charverius Ward with Sneed in the slot. I wish this team had Bashaud Breeland on. I know I never say that out loud or tweet about it or anything, but I really, really do. Mike Hughes, outside corner, starting opposite Charverius Ward, makes you feel how?
Interesting. interested, just intrigued. I know, like, that's such a weak answer, but, like, that's the truth. I look at, you know, Mike Hughes, and we had the conversation on our podcast just yesterday, just looking at the situation and saying, Mike Hughes makes a lot of sense in the slot. You know, he's a guy that, you know, maybe you don't want to trust carrying vertically with some of these receivers, but, you know, he's got good instincts. It actually looks like, you know, like, I think Matt or Craig on our podcast, you know, talked about maybe the Kendall Fuller type role, the Kendall Fuller type situation for Mike Hughes. But what do we see day one? L'Jarius Sneed goes back inside where he had a lot of success too last year, and they trust Mike Hughes outside. I think the idea of Mike Hughes, this is the key word, the idea of a Mike Hughes and DeAndre Baker are very similar. They're reclamation projects, first-round talents. You're hoping one of these guys stick. So Mike Hughes or DeAndre Baker, there's some limitations athletically to both of them, but there is some talent. There's some instincts and ball skills. You're hoping one of those guys sticks. I'm not overly excited, but this team has won a Super Bowl and made a Super Bowl with very similar talent at the cornerback position the last 2 years.
I really like Sneed in the slot. I really like letting guys play to their absolute strengths as opposed to, you know, finding the hole first and then trying to figure out what do we do to make sure that we don't have a weakness or whatever. I enjoy sort of a borderline reckless L'Jarius Sneed. But also with the other outside spot, if they are going to try to work through Hughes and Baker, and I thought Rashad Fenton was going to have a real chance in that spot, and maybe that'll show up over the rest of camp. I don't really know. But to me, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but to me that feels like the one place where this roster could get itself in some trouble if your sort of number two corner doesn't pan out. I don't really feel that nervous about any other position on this team, though, I don't think. Do you feel any similar sort of, you like the idea, but maybe not the actual way this pans out?
Well, yeah, I think banking on the idea of players is not something I typically like.
Yeah, me neither.
But yeah, no, I get why you wanted Bashaud Breeland in the mix. Like, yeah. I've seen you tweeting about that a lot.
Never.
a lot.
Never once.
but look, one thing I think we've got to kind of like step back and take a look at when we're looking at, you know, the cornerback situation, and part of why getting L'Jarius Sneed back in the middle of the field is, the Chiefs have done a wonderful, marvelous job forcing low-percentage throws outside the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They have done a wonderful job in between the numbers with dynamic safeties, with excellent slot play. L'Jarius Sneed, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, those guys operating in between the numbers, those are, and Juan Thornhill playing, you know, playing over the top. I mean, that's a really dangerous group in the middle of the field. So if they can force some of those low percentage outside throws, it maybe doesn't matter as much who's outside. And the Chiefs have not really, I mean, they've never invested at corner, ever.
Yep.
The most they've ever spent is, I think, Bashaud Breeland's contract last year was worth up to $4.5 million. Like, that's the ceiling for this team's expenditures at corner. They haven't spent one single day one or day two pick at the cornerback spot. This team has just always cobbled together talent. And they've done a decent job giving themselves these decent swings. So I think you're just hoping, get some guys that can, you know, do a decent job outside and force those low percentage throws if they're going to try to challenge your bad, weak deficiencies. Everything in between the numbers is really strong.
We talked to Craig, a couple weeks ago at this point about some of the Tampa Buzz thing that he broke down, and like, even that's a sliver of what Spags is working with. But even that is just sort of an exercise of keeping in mind how different schemes can look and how you can try to cover up for your deficiencies defensively and try to, you know, bring teams into matchups that you like. I think we typically think about of the offense being on the offensive whenever it comes to making matchups, but defenses can also do that. I just think it's harder for us to visualize that sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, when you're playing zone coverage, like, there are strengths and weaknesses to it. You know, offenses can really do some different things to dictate some things with man coverage and create a lot of mismatches and all that kind of stuff. But the Chiefs do such a good job, you know, protecting those outside guys with a lot of too high, you know, structure. You talk about that cover two and mixing things up, and how they get into those too high structures can be really creative, like what, you know, Craig, you know, kind of talked about. But, you know, like, there's things that Steve Spagnuolo does a lot, and some of it, you know, like that, just the fact that Steve Spagnuolo blitzes and pressures quarterbacks the way he does with sometimes no rhyme or reason or logic to when he's doing it is one of those things. Like the Steve Spagnuolo wild card mixed into all this can also help dictate some things too, or you know, create some concerns. You know, Spagnuolo's got it figured out, and he's done enough, and he knows enough that, you know, he's been able to survive without really a ton of quarterback talent. And, I mean, it's worked. It really has.
Yeah.
It just makes me nervous because I've seen that specific lack be something that gets you in trouble. But I also do believe, like, Spags does have that kind of figured out. Like, I trust Spags to make the best of what he has. I just hope he has enough ingredients, specifically with the corners, to – I don't know. Keep me from staring at my ceiling at night.
Well, the last team that we saw, the 2018 final Bob Sutton season had no talent at corner, and they got exposed tremendously. Yeah. So, like, I get it, and I've been saying this, you know, maybe not in the same words. I don't know if it was necessarily, like, you have to sign Rashad Breeland. Because, I mean, Rashad Breeland is what he is, and he wasn't good in the Super Bowl last year, and he's an older guy, so, like, Maybe the gap between 30-year-old Rashad Breeland and DeAndre Baker and Mike Hughes isn't it isn't as big as you and me think it is.
Sure.
Or, you know, they're more confident in it. But Mike Hughes hasn't played 1,000 career snaps on defense in his career. There's only one cornerback for the Chiefs that has over 1,000 snaps at the cornerback position, and that's Charvarius Ward. So I personally, on the outside, am looking at it. Like, I'm personally afraid, but I've seen them do a lot with very little.
Where are you on Ward at this point? He's the guy from this group who's been talked about the least because we all just know he's starting.
Yeah, I mean, I think Charvarius Ward is what he is, and he's been what he's been for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of – there's like – it's the kind of thing we talked about. Everybody has there's all these Chiefs players with the SCZN at the end of their name.
Right.
Charvarius Ward, there's a lot of optimism for your guys, right? And I think, Charvarius Ward's always kind of showed what he is. And that's okay. Like, getting what they've been able to get out of a guy like Charvarius Ward is a huge credit to Brett Veach, being an undrafted free agent. But I think sometimes we try to make too much of our own. I think he's a replacement level starter. I mean, I think that's about what he is. Very scheme dependent. You let him operate, be a little physical at the line of scrimmage, use his length, operate on a linear plane. And that too high structure is really good for him. That, be protected over the top. Those are good things for Charvarius Ward, and he's done admirably, in that situation. I wouldn't call him a strength even in the slightest, but you're glad you have him, and you're glad you have his experience because he is the elder statesman in the cornerback room.
Just insane. It's just it's just crazy.
It's wild. I mean, it is. I'm not going to argue with you, but it's just also like how big of an upgrade is the Bashad Breeland? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know either, but for the thing we were talking about earlier was the reason that Austin Blythe is on this team could be, in a worst-case scenario even, be the reason that Rashad Breeland would be on this team, which is that if the guy that you want to win the job doesn't, you have somebody who can be competent in a spot that can be exposed. That's LDT, it's Kyle Long, it's Austin Blythe, and Long probably has the higher ceiling of that trio, but having those players that will keep you from this to steal Seth's analogy, like you must be this tall to ride the ride. You can't have Andrew Wiley playing tackle in the Super Bowl. You cannot have a deficient cornerback group. I just adding Rashad Breeland. I don't think he would have been Xavier Howard. Like I'm not. That's not my delusion. It's just a cornerback that I'm not afraid to see in coverage.
Right, and I mean familiarity, understanding of the defense, and a known commodity. But also, you know what? When you give Steve Spagnuolo known commodities, Ben Neiman is rolling out at linebacker on day one of training camp. So I think there could be a little. I don't want to say infighting or anything like that. But I mean, Steve Spagnuolo loves to play guys he trusts.
Yep.
And if there is a talent deficiency between Rashad Breeland's ceiling, Mike Hughes' ceiling, or DeAndre Baker, well, if Rashad Breeland's not here, they can't play him.
Yeah.
You never know if there's a layer there, too, of that. Because, I mean, Ben Neiman has not you know, they can't get Ben Neiman off the field right now. So, you know, and they just spent another second round pick at linebacker. So hopefully that happens soon. But, you know, coaches like to lean on their known commodities.
That was the other thing you mentioned in the story, looking at the linebackers. I wasn't even going to make you talk about it because I don't know if there's enough new things there, but you brought it up. So if you'd like to, feel free.
No, I mean, I think it's always interesting to see who gets supplanted and who doesn't. And it kind of feels like on offense, Andy is willing to give some, you know, rookies a little bit more exposure early on. I mean, he's throwing Creed Humphrey into the mix already, same with Trey Smith. But Steve Spagnuolo, it's the opposite. It feels like, you know, if he's ready week one, he's playing week four kind of thing with Steve Spagnuolo. So we're looking at Ben Neiman getting reps on the field now, and, you know, that's not a good thing for anybody. And it's not that Ben Neiman's a bad football player. It's just that Ben Neiman is being thrust into a role at this juncture and into this point in his career that he's not fit for. But it's because, you know, he's got some of the mental aspects and capabilities there. Chiefs need guys like Willie Gay. They need guys like, you know, Nick Bolton to really step up and help, you know, add to the talent in that group, that the trusted talent, because that group can really take off. They've put a lot of investment into that position.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if Willie Gay, like, it sounds like Willie Gay's made some plays in coverage. I'm excited to get eyes on him this weekend. But, like, if he can be a guy that can be trusted in coverage, you know, maybe he's playing in more sub packages and Ben Neiman's off the field entirely. And hopefully Nick Bolton gets caught up to speed, because, I mean, that kid can make plays behind the line of scrimmage, especially in the run game. And that, you know, negative plays would be really valuable right now.
Do you feel at least a little bit soothed by the trio of Hitchens, Gay, and Neiman, as opposed to a Hitchens, Neiman, Damian Wilson setup? Or at least Willie Gay's theoretically on the field?
Yeah, Hitchens too. I mean, Hitchens played well late last year. Like, we don't talk enough about that. Like, this group could really, you know, this could change even if Ben Neiman's on the field. You know, Hitchens and Willie Gay are playing really well. This is really, this is a contract year for Anthony Hitchens, because they can very easily move on from him next year. And it sounds like Anthony Hitchens lost a little bit of weight to try to be ready. Like, this group could make big improvements. Everybody's being pushed. There's a lot of talent in the room. There's a lot of really good things that can happen at the second level of this Chiefs defense. And that could be, if the second level of this defense starts playing coverage better, like, that's terrifying for the National Football League because, again, like, they're just locking up in between the numbers. So I feel good about where the linebackers are. I just hope, you know, Nick Bolton gets caught up to speed soon.
And you're going to be up in St. Joe Friday and Saturday and welcoming all comers. Just come take a selfie with Kent and, you know, make sure that no babies are peeing anywhere near you, right? That's the rule.
Yes. I get away from the peeing baby for a couple of days. On Friday and Saturday, hopefully I can run into you and maybe even hug you.
Well, listen, I'll say this, Kent. If you don't want to get covered in pee on Friday or Saturday, stay away from me.
Well, I'll risk it.
By the way, we have a Facebook comment from John. Can we have a show that Josh has to take care of a baby?
Who is that good for?
Look, I will not volunteer my kid.
That's the thing.
I'm sorry.
Is this, like, if you need, because kid number one, you said, is five, right?
Yeah, he's five.
If you need a babysitter for kid number one, that I can do. I am excellent with kids, like, in sort of that, like, just, I think, post sort of toddler range, right? Like, and probably up to, I don't know, 12. I have, like, 5 to 12. I can help. Before they are potty trained, before they are housebroken, which is, I think, the term I will be using, I want nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. I've never changed a diaper in my life.
You want to know how I know you're not ready for kids, Josh? You just said housebroken about a child.
I know. No, I did it on purpose. I'm going to continue to. So I continue also not being ready for kids because I don't need that in my life. I don't need it at all.
Oh, my.
See, if I live my entire life and die peacefully at an old age, having my career diapers changed still be at zero, I'll be fine with that.
Well, I don't wish that on you because kids, all the jokes aside, pretty dope being a dad. I hope you get that experience someday.
I got a dog.
Beards might be closer now that he's married. Dog. So I'm just saying.
Beards, you guys gonna have kids soon? Turn on your microphone, coward.
I don't know.
Talking to you.
I don't know. know.
He said, I don't know. You should be a part of that conversation. Just so theoretically, you're approximately 50% of that decision.
At some point.
God, can you imagine a mini McFly? Holy bleep.
All I know is the we'll see what happens kind of approach really means one thing. So, that's a very committal answer there, Beards.
Beards, you know kids can't eat, like, chicken strips, right? Like, babies are not allowed to eat chicken strips.
Doesn't mean I can't.
Fair.
Yo, Beards and his kid are going to be ordering off the kids' menu.
Yes, he might. That actually might be. What
this
if he
might be his way back into ordering off the kids' menu, yeah.
Or
this
he is cursed.
Beards is in.
My child would like 3 orders of chicken tenders, please, the kids' version. Yes, he's very hungry. Yes, I know he's 4.
Yeah. Or Beards is cursed with the greatest curse of all, which is a child with, like, a very diverse palate that wants to get into, like, Mediterranean food.
God, I pray for that.
Beards has a child that really likes curry, and he's like, this is something that now Beards has to deal with. That would be hilarious. I also think
if his kid,
go ahead, kid.
If his kid's a chef, and he just has to try everything his kid cooks.
Yes. It's perfect.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. I just think it's pretty funny that Beards has the same strategy for maybe having kids as the Chiefs do for their number 2 cornerback spot right now. It's just like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll get there when we get there.
We gave ourselves enough swings, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, you know.
All right, go take a nap, Kent. You sound tired.
Oh, I am. Good night.
Kent Swanson of KC Sports Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson, kcsn.substack.com for the newsletter. That's Kent, that's Craig, that's the whole crew at KCSN. Plus, you can go to kcsportsnetwork.com. And if you're out there at training camp on Friday or Saturday, you can see Kent. He'll either have majestic hair or a hat, and you'll be able to figure it out from there. Just look for the very, very tired man who smells faintly of urine.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I play enough fantasy football. I've been playing fantasy football for coming up on 10 years, which is completely bleeping bonkers.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I've barely been potty trained for 10 years.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Great line of work, Beards, per usual. Here's some, you know what, no, I gotta do this thing first. Hold on, self. You stay right there. Thanks again to Kent Swanson for joining us. KCSN.substack.com for their newsletter. Great work there. You can follow him on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. And I'm gonna say that covers some training camp coverage. And our training camp coverage here on Sports Radio 810 WHB is brought to you by Mike DePasquale and the law offices of DePasquale Moore. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car wreck, remember, Mike's got this. I hear that jingle in my head 17 times a day.
Who's got this?
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Also, Chiefs training camp coverage on Sports Radio 810 is presented by Bud Light, the official beer of your Kansas City Chiefs, and by CBD American Shaman. Over 40 local locations. Come in for a free sample today. CBD American Shaman. Life is better with the feather. Also, one quick reminder here. Coming up on August 10th, we have the 810 Listener Golf Tournament. You can sign up today at 810WHB.com to the Fred Arbenas Golf Course in KC Mo. Tickets are $108.10 per player. That's 10810. There's a dot after.
Oh,
you get it. Yeah,
get
I didn't
it.
Know if that made sense previously. That dime helps. It's a huge deal. No, yeah. it's $108.10.
$108.11. Wouldn't pay it.
No, absolutely not.
$108.10.
$108.09. Not fun.
Nope.
108.10. To sign up there, and that's not just to get on the course. That is for your golf. That is for your cart, your welcome bag, your drink tickets, breakfast, and lunch. Again, Fred Arbenas Golf Course in KC Mo. 810WHB.com for all the information, and if you want to sign up for yourself, that is on 810, August 10th. Also, that's you see what we're doing there, Rudy. I know that you're not always the quickest on.
This is the day after my dad's birthday.
And that's why we're doing it, Beards.
Yeah.
It's
my birthday month.
It is the day after Beards' dad's birthday listener golf tournament that just happens to also be on 8/10.
I mean, we're going to be busy that day. So it's, you know, I'm glad we pushed it back a day so that, you know, we could, you know, have that.
dumber bit than usual.
Are you surprised?
No. There was a Twitch comments that did make me laugh over the course of that segment. Periodically, it's a good Twitch username. Good job, Periodically. Said they started listening at a very odd time.
Pyro?
No, that's a different person. Yeah, but we can have multiple pyromaniacs in the Twitch chat.
He just might have also changed his name. Ice Pyro is not commented today, so maybe it's Ice Pyro.
I guess that's true. Either way, it's a good name. Yeah. I started listening at a very odd time, presumably when we were talking about urine. That was funny. But then S. Wallaby said, definitely seems like Josh hates my cues.
He does.
And then Guardiok said, yeah, his face said it all. And I saw that, and I realize how my face almost certainly looked during all of that. And then S. Wallaby said, just fantasizing over talking about Bashad Breeland, which we did ultimately get to, fulfilling my darkest, deepest fantasy. Which is just simply talking about Bashad Breeland on the radio. That's what does it for me. Unmark that, Beards.
No.
Kent retweeted this. This made me very happy. Did you guys see the thing about Kelvin Benjamin earlier today? So somebody tweeted that, like, he left in a tizzy and stole a bunch of food on his way out.
I didn't see that.
Well, it was from a fake account, but it got a ton of people. Well, hold on.
Dove Kleiman. I think the main person who fell for it.
A bleep ton of people retweeted it. What Dove Kleiman did, though, because he is an aggregated little bleep sometimes on this Twitter machine, where he steals other people's content and then tags them at the end, or will download full videos and then re-upload them with his own watermark over a video that he did not make or own. Not a huge fan of his work. Tweeted, reason for Benjamin's release is wild. After a heated argument with Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman, Kelvin walked off practice. Video surveillance footage showed Benjamin had been stealing food from the facility to take home, according to Wes Steinberg. Dove deserves every bit of that.
Yep.
Because you couldn't even just retweet the fake report like a normal idiot who just gets got by Twitter. That happens sometimes. Yep. Sometimes Barry gets you, this is an account that looks sort of like a real reporter, whatever. But whenever you steal the content to make sure that you get the retweets and you credit them at the end, or in many cases don't credit them at all, or credit them by putting your own watermark over a video you don't own, you deserve everything that comes to you. But also, here's the crazy thing. So all of that was nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Rosenblatt, verified on Twitter, 16,000 followers, a reporter, beat writer for the New Jersey Advance Media, New York Star Ledger, and NJ.com. He tweeted this. Exclusive. I spoke with Kelvin Benjamin and got his side of the story about what happened today when he was cut by the Giants. He ripped Joe Judge a lot. Quote, it was all a hoax. So Art nearly imitated life on this one, or vice versa, I guess. Like, it was just like they were trying to sabotage me to get me out of there, Benjamin told the reporter in a phone. Oh, come on. Come on, internet. Come on, ad blocker. Yes, I'm turning you off. Support great journalism. I'm sorry. I just have ad blocker on for YouTube. If I could only use it for YouTube, I totally would. It's like they're trying to sabotage me to get out of there, he says. He declared it a hoax. Said Joe Judge doesn't have what it takes to ever lead the Giants to a championship. Quote, I felt like day one, once I stepped on the field, once I put on the colors, he never liked me. He didn't even want me there. Like, and he went to the Giants to try to become a tight end, by the way, because, I mean, as we remember from his brief time in Kansas City.
He's a thick boy.
He didn't even talk to me Tuesday, Benjamin said. The day before practice, he didn't bring all this up. I just felt like the dude didn't like me. Mr. Gettleman knew exactly what went down. Everybody in the building was telling me I looked great. I was feeling good. It's crazy how they twist in the narrative and about everything like it's a joke. They make it seem like we don't even matter. That's the thing about humanity, man. It's just, Judge, quote, was like, we're going to fine you for being 17 pounds overweight. I was like, how are you going to do that? Benjamin said. I said, quote, so you want me to be a smaller tight end than when I played wide receiver? He had nothing to say. He quieted down. I don't think Kelvin Benjamin should probably be on an NFL roster at this point. Just like, you know, in training camp, whatever, fine. Mm-hmm. I would guess that he will not have a rejuvenated NFL career.
Probably not.
But also, I think he's right about Joe Judge. And like,
seems likely.
I think there is a better chance that Kelvin Benjamin is on a 53-man roster this year than that Joe Judge wins a championship with as the head coach of the New York Giants. I think the chances both of those are pretty low, but I think it's like 10% to 1%.
I mean, Patriots disciples got good track records, so
yeah.
You never know.
Huge.
They all just want to be Bill Belichick, and it works out great.
By the way, you talk about the art imitating life thing there.
Yeah.
My favorite instance of that ever happening ever was, I think, 2 years ago or whatever, when Chris Paul was still on the Rockets, and Barry had that report that got a lot of people that was Chris Paul. Or Harden wanted Chris Paul out because he was making fun of Harden's man boobs.
Yes.
And then Skip said it on his show.
Yes.
And then a video came out of Chris Paul making fun of Harden's man boobs.
We have
It was excellent.
If we could just let Barry just sort of write some WWE-style storylines for sports, I do think it would be better for the world of sports. Because that's
probably
great.
Yeah.
That's a great example.
It was incredible.
Nick Prado has hit another home run. A grand slam. His
Ooh.
Second grand slam this week.
That's good.
According
so
to Lusky, the Omaha Storm Chasers.
Lusky just essentially tweet David or Nick Prado, and I was like, "Oh, I bet
who's David
something.
Prado?"
I don't know.
You almost said David Prado, and I'm just curious. Doesn't
I,
really...
I don't. I think it was just because I just said David Lusky. I think it just combined the names.
There's
Does
a David Prado, an attorney.
Appears that David J. Prado is a professor emeritus of sociology at the University of North Carolina. Oh, he's dead.
David Prado, photographer? David Prado, wrestling? College wrestling.
David J. Prado, professor emeritus of sociology at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, died at his home. And then I can't. It says, after a valiant 3-year struggle with ... And then it stops because I click the page and it doesn't. It doesn't exist anymore.
There's a David Prada who's a special effects actor and producer. I found his IMDb page.
I found another obituary for a David L. Prada.
No movies that I've seen.
I think at least twice now in the history of this show, we've sort of accidentally ended up on obituaries. And it's not good for the energy of the show.
To be fair, it only happening twice is a good job by us.
Especially because if you Google a name that is not necessarily associated with the famous person,
yeah.
One of the first things you're going to find is going to be, you know, Jimmy Greensboro passed away peacefully at his home at the age of 87. Like, it's like, oh, God, every time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Jimmy Greensboro?
How do you spell Greensboro?
I think O-U-H. That's how I would do it, I think. Like a borough. There's a Greensboro Police Department.
I'm not seeing any Jimmys.
Okay, Jimmy Greensboro obituary.
I don't think you're allowed to put obituary, though.
Well, now at this point, I'm just trying to see if I can find someone named Jimmy Greensboro.
Gotcha.
Like, I just need...
I don't see any Jimmy Greensboro spelled with the other way.
We got to see if Kent wants to change the name of his newborn.
There's a James Jimmy Brown obituary in Greensboro. That's not what we're looking for.
No, really not.
I think we're out of luck on this one.
I think we're in luck. We could not find a dead person with this certain name.
He's
I don't think
alive.
That's a problem.
He's still alive.
Or has it, or even, you know what, Rudy?
Or
by,
he has
by
been
the Google,
found.
Jimmy Greensboro hasn't been born yet. Beards, I know we're now in back-to-back segments of talking about you having kids, but I would like to suggest a name.
Chewy.
Jimmy Greensboro.
Chewy Blue.
Or, did you say Chewy Blue?
Yep. Chewy Blue McFly.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yep.
Okay.
Got a little bit of everything. A little Star Wars reference, a little commercial reference, a little McFly reference. Hits it all.
I think we'll be skipping that one, but thanks for the suggestion, Rudy.
How about Skip? Skip Greensboro McFly. Oh, even better. Skip Rudy McFly.
Oh, no, we're going different ways. I say, I think your first two kids should be Skip and Shannon.
Hey, welcome to our home. These are our kids. They're undisputed.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I wonder how far you could throw a baby.
Feels like a fair question, right?
It's not going to be a perfect spiral, I can tell you that much.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
How far do you think I can throw Beards' fictional baby?
Twenty yards. Well, how new is the baby?
Beards, how new is the baby?
No, so far it's non-existent. So however far you can throw air.
So it's a couple days old. Yeah, you get about 20 yards.
In a seamless transition back to the thing we were talking about earlier in the show, and then we've got something very special happening at 9 o'clock. It is the birth of two new bits. It is both the birth of new bit or old bleep, and also the first bit up in the game of new bit or old bleep is a tier list that I'm going to make. We'll make all collaboratively, but I'll have it on my computer for various forms of chips.
Let me ask you this. Do I need to whip up a unique and original creation for this new game?
Yeah, I don't want you to like stress over it too much, but if you could get something during the next break, theoretically you'd be able to hit SportsCenter and buy yourself a couple more minutes.
Yeah, probably.
If you come up
that
with something there, I would like to say, Beards, let's make something very clear. Ideally something good to listen to.
Okay. I can do that.
Not one of your rinky dink bull bleep.
It won't be a Frankenstein center field. Don't worry.
A Frankenstein anything. Ideally.
Guardiac says if you swaddle it tightly, you can probably get 25 to 30 with a good spiral.
The one piece of audio I wanted to get played in this hour is about Trey Smith. Andy Reid talked about Trey Smith today, and because he was asked, like, hey, Trey Smith's getting the start out there right now at right guard. What has he shown you to prove that he's worth that spot?
Yeah, well, it was consistency. I mean, he had done a nice job. I mean, not that it's 100% perfect, young guy, but he showed enough to legitimately be in that position for right now. And then he's got to compete. So we'll see how all that goes when we get the pads on.
If he was able to show consistency at a high enough level throughout the mini camps and OTAs and everything, I mean, that's a pretty good explainer there. Beards, let's sneak in the next one real quick here on Orlando Brown Jr. He said whenever he spoke to the media a couple days ago that he's been watching film of some Andy Reid tackles. And Andy Reid was asked about Brown doing that and what Reid thought whenever he heard that Orlando Brown had been going back into the archives.
Yeah, well, he loves the game. And so he goes back and he studies. It's impressive to do that. But it gives him an idea of how we roll here. And he's blessed to have a great coach in Andy Heck who played 14 years in the National Football League, so he's got that firsthand experience at his position. So he's in a good spot right now. He knows that, and he's willing to work. That's what it tells me. He's willing to cover all the bases as he goes.
Now, look, the Chiefs put a lot of resources into their offensive line this offseason, so it shouldn't be a surprise that you should feel pretty good about the O-line. But you should feel pretty good about the O-line. I really do think that, I mean, Brown and Tooney, they paid the premium for them to be elite at that spot, so I certainly hope that they are. The rookie group that is at center with Creed Humphrey and potentially at right guard with Trey Smith is really exciting, and both for the short term and the long term. So a lot to be excited about across that Chiefs O-line. Whenever we come back, we're going to rank chips.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.